I feel like a freak. No, I feel like I feel like a refugee and a freak. Well, I've always felt like a freak, but days like this, I just feel like a refugee. Always. Well, I'm always a refugee. I'm a unique freak refugee. Because you get to this day, right here, this one, where it's like, you know, you haven't showered in forever, and your beard is growing out, and there's hair everywhere, and, you know, you're sweaty, and you're just disgusting, but you can't move, because you're an artist, and you've just been busy, you know, you've stayed in the corner, reading books for, you know, several days, and then you get up, and you take the shower and go outside and become one with the world again. But I'm still a freak. No matter how many times I clean up the refugee, I'll never be able to clean up the freak. I want to talk about freaks, because I've been reading about, not about freaks. Well, actually, I've been reading about a group of people who used to be freaks. They were also known as gay people. And I want to talk about gay people and love and marriage and queer on the Fabulous D Show with the artist D. That's me. Right now.
It's the artist D Show. The Fabulous D. The Fabulous D. An unearthing of the underground. Alien in the sky. There be anyone more fabulous for you and me, for you and me. So welcome to the Artist D Show.
And my hands hurt from doing everything that I've been doing, and you wouldn't think so because I'm just lifting pens and papers and typing, but... One should always be in love. That is the reason one should never marry. Oscar Wilde. And marriage is what I've been thinking about lately. Love and marriage, gay and straight, are things that really perturb me. And I think we've discussed it before on the show about love and marriage. It was probably called Love and Marriage, actually. But I was thinking about gay culture, and I read something recently by Quentin Crisp, several things, that referred to gay culture as we were the freaks, and a lot of quotations from others indicating why would a gay person want to get married? Because they're gay. Why would a gay person want to be a part of straight society? Much like any minority becoming a part of regular society. And it's always this odd going along, playing along. That's how I view it. Of course, I'm not a regular gay person. I'm not a regular transgendered person. I am who I am. I am freak unique. And perhaps that's why the gay culture appealed to me. Not saying I'm not gay. I am 100% totally gay, honey. But I'm also a freak. And I think it would be fair to say that I was a freak first. I came out of the womb screaming, freak. And I've always been attracted to that of which is unpopular. And so, have you ever hated something because it got popular? Yeah. Are you breathing? I could ask the same question. At least I hope that I could ask the same question. How many subcultures have I been involved in and invited into that became top-level popular? I mean, Hot Topic, anyone? Goth? Anyone? Punk? Oh my god, the punks. The poor punks. I could say the poor punks more than I could say the poor goths, because you could never take a goth seriously. But a punk? When they ruined that, oh my god. Christ. They ruined it. And they ruined it good. But thankfully, being dirty didn't last that long. Being popular and dirty. Because, you know, once they found out that punks don't shower and, you know, that punks can't shop at Hot Topic, you can at least tell, today, a real punk from a fake punk. Back in the dutta, I mean, you still can't. Goths are goths. Goths look like they do. Goths are what they are. Emos. Straight edge. Anything that Hot Topic has basically rolled over, you've heard the statement, I used to like it, but now it's popular. And I, too, used to enjoy dressing that way, until it became popular. Because we, the freaks, do not want to be like anyone else. Don't we? I don't. And I guess, with all the cultures that I have immersed myself in, goth, punk, gay is one. And while being a homosexual should not be a culture or a transgendered person, it turned into much like being black. It shouldn't be a culture, a popular culture. You're black. You're gay, you're straight, you're transgender. It has nothing to do with how you live your life. Ah, but it does. And isn't that sad that before gay rights, there was black rights? And, well, then it made sense, right? Because it was a skin color. It was a culture. It was a people. And then they took that right in. They took it right into the gays. But yet, so confusing and so much turmoil because, well, the gays look just like us, don't they? The gays are white culture. The gays are Latino culture, black culture. The gays are sometimes transgender. Because you can't and you shouldn't box a person based on what they're feeling or how they look. How we look and what we're feeling have absolutely, I hope you're listening, absolutely nothing to do with who you are or what you do. But yet, if you live among the sheeple, worship among the sheeple, attend the steeple. Why, be it government or religious, steeple. You are convinced that what you look like and how you feel are the only reasons that you exist and that your culture exists. Gay culture. Black culture. Latino culture. Sure, we have groups of people that like certain things. But doesn't everybody? I don't have to be a Latino to enjoy Latino food. I mean, that's the most stupidest thing ever, is that there are Mexican foods and Chinese foods and... It's like, yeah, yes, it's a cultural thing. We got to call it something. And these people just happen to come up with it. But really? I mean, there's no gay foods. And yet that is a culture. That is a stereotype they're breaking. And I don't understand it whatsoever. And gay became popular. Being gay. The styles kill me. I cannot handle it. I went to JCPenney the other day. It's French. And they have reconstructed. I may have discussed this in a previous season. Because I have always said that one of my favorite stores is JCPenney. I can find my regular, normal clothes. Because pretty much, I'm in a uniform for life. I've chosen my uniform for life. I do not wear colors. I do not wear fancy things. I just usually wear black, tank top, and pants. This is my outfit for life because it's my uniform. I am battling the world. I am battling the universe. I am battling culture. And I have a uniform. So I could usually find my uniform at such stores, but no, they've revamped. And everywhere I look, I see gay. I see dead people. No, I see gay people. They're everywhere. But they're not gay. They're dressing gay. How can you dress gay? Well, I grew up with the stores that offered black and gray tank tops and jeans, blue and black, and slacks. To find a multicolored shirt in the 90s, even, in the style and cut that I was attracted to wearing, because it was interesting, because it was colorful, because it was weird, I would have to drive 2 hours to the big city and go to one of these very fashionable stores or boutiques and find the clothes that I was looking for. I could have never gone to around the corner and found a colorful tank top to wear. Now you can. Why? Why did the straights adopt this gay style? Because I see it everywhere. 10 years ago, less than 10 years ago, in small town America, if you walk down the street in the things that are available for normal, white, straight males today, you would have been beaten and tied to a fence. And I truly believe that, because those are the kind of things I couldn't wear in public. My God, flashback. I remember being about 8 years old, and I had a bright neon shirt and bright neon shorts that were never to be worn together. And one day I decided to put them on together. And I had some of those slap bands, you know, the bracelets. Colorful. I put those on. And I had some weird-ass sunglasses. And I put those on, too. I was only like 6 to 7 years old. This was before I even realized culture existed. And culture was dictating my every move. Society, I should say, was dictating my every move. And I put those on, and I came out of the house. And my mother and grandmother laughed at me. Where do you think you're going? So fashionable. Oh, you think you're big New York City? Yeah. And that's pretty much the reaction I received throughout my life whenever I learned to go out of the box. That's what I got in return. Dye your hair crazy colors. You're a crazy fag freak. And so we, the fag freaks, move to the big cities and find style and embrace style and embrace our culture as we foresee it and our art. But now you could go to the backwoods of Nebraska and find a store, a regular store, schlepping this gay merchandise. What makes merchandise gay? Because that's what we were attracted to. We were attracted to wearing colorful things and being crazy and being unique and being out there. We didn't want to wear Dockers and Dickies and flannel shirts or work shirts, as they call them, and overalls and blue jeans. We didn't want to. Why we didn't want to, I don't know. That's a conversation for another time with someone else on this show. But why I personally, I mean, what does that say about something, being gay? Is, you know, I'm gay and I was transgender as well, and I'm still am transgender. And I was a little boy and I didn't want to wear blah, normal clothes. It had to be flashy, interesting, amazing. I don't know what that says about why that is related to sexuality, but it was, and it still seems to be, although, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just when you see a thug wearing something that a queer would have worn, I have to wonder. I just don't know. I don't know how it pushed itself in. And maybe that's a fashion show. I need some fashionable person to come on this show and discuss how fashion influenced and pushed those kind of clothes into the mainstream. And that now that you can go to BF Nebraska and find some hayseed, total straight, ignorant, and I mean ignorant, hayseed wearing colorful, fruity clothes. And you know, the first time I saw that happen, the first time that I saw these people, the people who were against me, the people who were not part of my sexuality, my gender, my culture, mindset, wearing these things, and these stores started to pack these things in there for regular people, I immediately didn't want to wear them anymore. Why? You gotta wonder, what is it? What is it about being popular to people like us that makes it so not fashionable? And yet to everybody else out there, oh yeah, Britney's wearing this. I gotta wear this. No, I see it. What do you say? What do you say, Chuck? When everybody, where the crowd goes, I run in the opposite direction. The crowd is always wrong. And I knew that before Chuck told me that. I knew that before Carlo told me that as well. Where the crowd goes, you will not find me. And it took me a long time to understand that that wasn't wrong. How many times? I mean, look at this. Look at Pride. It's Pride Month. Pride Summers. Gay boys everywhere, people of your kind are on the streets. They are gathering in the thousands and the millions, and they are marching down the street together, and they're having a good time, and everyone's together in unity and blah, blah, blah. You can't get me near that now. No, thank you. Proudly, no, thank you. But before? Oh, come on, D, come on. Come on, it's your people. It's you don't get to see these people all the time, and the art and the culture. Oh, come on, it's a gathering. A gathering. Go on. Come on. And I went, and I had a bad time. Really bad time. It's just not who I am. And yet, people don't let you apologize for that. People won't let you be a hermit. People won't let you be who you want to be, and people won't let you say what you want to say. And I'm saying fashion is somehow tied to the sexuality of the past. And now other people who despise that culture are wearing it, which is actually kind of funny. I can't take them seriously. And I think that's fantastic that society and their culture has screwed themselves over so badly. I mean, okay. Picture this. Back in the day, if I was hated, I knew it was because, I mean, there I am in my neon clothes, and there's the group of bullies. And what do the bullies look like? They don't look anything like me. There's the kicker. They look nothing like me. They're wearing what was considered normal people clothes. They were acting the opposite of what I was, feminine. They were acting masculine and rude and angry. And I was feminine and innocent and gingerly. Ugh, I hate that word. But then there they were, and there I was, and they picked on me, and they got me down. Okay, fast forward. Today, you are, as I was, effeminate, gay, a child. You are approached by a individual who may be acting masculine, but look at them. Their entire body is shaved. They are wearing designer Calvin Klein's. A purple wife beater. Detest the name. Insult to wives and beaters. They are wearing, oh, let's see, checkered shorts that hang low, exposing their bright fluorescent underpants. Their skin is smooth. They moisturize quite a bit. That is bullying you, the gay boy. Now, I don't know about you, or if it's just where I've come from, or come to, but I'm not really that intimidated by being bullied for being a gay, queer, fag, fairy by someone who is dressed like a fairy. Quite frankly, and no insult intended, but that's what they're saying to me, or that's what they were saying to me. I was a gay fruity little boy who they despised. And they despised me because I was not them. I was not masculine. I was not hairy. I was not wearing blue jeans. I was not that. So, honestly, in my mind, their argument was valid. They hated me, and they had good reason to hate me, because I was nothing like them. But now, I mean, it's as bad as a gay bashing a gay. Or a woman bashing a woman. Or a man bashing a man now, because that's what it is. It's a man bashing a man, because we have a man dressed in fruity apparel bashing a gay man in fruity apparel. They're on the same playing field. The only thing that differs between the straight man and the gay man is that he is straight and he is gay. Oh, you're picking on me for my sexual preference. Oh, I'm so offended. I'm so offended. And I have to wonder, if I had thought about it that way then, would I have thought that? Would I have been intimidated? Because that, I don't recall thinking about being bullied and, you know, parents and peers, they say, why? And it wasn't because I was gay. Of course, I was in the closet, so I wasn't gay. But that was not the reason, even in the back of my mind. Oh, they're picking on me because I'm a fag. No. No, they're picking on me because they didn't like my shirt. Or they were jealous of my shoes. Or they didn't like my shoes. Or they didn't like my hair. It was never because of my sexual preference. That was like, you know, the bottom of the list. They hated me because I was stylish, or I thought I was stylish. They hated me because I combed my hair differently than they did. They hated me because I was not like them. They hated me because I was not masculine. I would not play football with them. I would not play baseball with them. I was a freak. I am a freak. And they hated me because of my freakness. Not because I was wanting another man to stick their dick in me. Hardly. Hardly has anything to do with anything. And that's why I wonder, if I was a child today, a gay child, dressing the way I dressed, and I was approached by a straight child wearing the same shit that I was, and they were making fun of me because I was gay, because they couldn't make fun of me because of my clothes now, only the way that I wore them. But in the end, I would have logically thought, huh, well, you know, we're wearing the same thing. They need something to pick on because I'm gay. And then I would have wondered, what does that matter? I don't pick on them because they want to, you know, be in a vagina. I don't understand. Still don't understand. And I won't understand. And that's the only interesting thing is, well, you know, a punk is a punk, a goth is a goth. No matter how popular the culture or the feeling gets, you'll still always be who you were. You'll just be more ashamed to wear those things because everybody's doing it. And they're making a mockery of who you are. And that's kind of the sad thing about the gay fashion spilling over into straight fashion. Can't believe that there's a difference. But there is. And that's the sad thing, is that we have gay bashers, really violent, angry people, hating people for a physical preference, and now they're wearing their clothes. I want to talk about freaks and marriage. After this, on the Fabulous D Show, I am the Artist D.
This is Mac Danger from Swillin' Radio and also from Dead Cowboy Rebellion and Twin Rivers. You are currently listening to the Fabulous D Show with your host, the Artist D.
It's Funtastic on Transtastic.com.
Where can you hear independent music, underground opinion, and more? Tune in to 4Culture Radio at 4culture.com. We're unearthing the underground audibly. In your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's HotspotRadio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's HotspotRadio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
This is Becky Cannon, so you're listening to The Fabulous D Show. This is Campus Christmas, and as mad as a box of frogs. And don't forget to sign up on Transtastic.com, the most fabulous transcendent social network site in the world.
Our artist D is fabulous. Welcome back to the Fabulous D Show, broadcasting from Earth at theartistd.com.
I fell a-weeping and I cried, "Sweet youth, tell me why, sad and sighing, thou dost rove these pleasant realms. I pray thee speak me soothe, what is thy name?" He said, "My name is Love." Then straight the first did turn himself to me and cried, "He lieth, for his name is Shame. But I am Love, and I was wont to be alone, in this fair garden till he came, unasked by night. I am true love. I fill the hearts of boy and girl with mutual flame. Then sighing, said the other, have thy will? I am the love that dare not speak its name. Lord Alfred Douglas. In the late 1800s, and I'm surrounded by books. I'm always surrounded by books now. The love that not dare not speak its name. That of which many has been cast upon. And I was reading about gay marriage back in the day. And keeping in mind that these are very angry, outcast people. The gay has been in existence since the beginning of time. The beginning of everything. And it amazes me. That's why read what you want. Anything that you read is important, especially when you find out that in the hundreds, I'm not talking about 1800s, I'm talking about literally hundreds, or in the beginning of, you know, the year was 80, the year was 20, the year was, you know, 130. That's the year number. And there was writings about being gay and having affairs with men and being in love and being in lust and being a homosexual. It existed back then, and it has always existed. And when it hit a head in this country, in this day and age, in the mid to late 1900s, when it was coming about that gay was out, but it was still shunned, a lot of conversation happened about gay marriage and gays wanting the rights that the straight people had. And a lot of essays and quotes are from basically angry gay people from back in that day, who did not want the rights of straights and felt that it was kind of shameful, even. I mean, why? That was the question. Why do we want to get married? It's a straight thing. And that's where I am today. That's where I've always been. Why, after growing up in the Catholic Church, why would I want to be married in the Catholic Church to another man? It does not compute. And I just wrote an article. I don't think it was this last one, but perhaps the one prior, to gay marriage. And it was that basis, basically, was you're gay. Why do you want to participate in straight culture? You have your own culture. You have your own lifestyle. They do not approve of your lifestyle. They let you live it, or they should let you live it. That is the fight. That was always the fight to me. The fight was, could you let us be gay, please? Have your picnics. Have your barbecues. Have your straight sex and your straight gatherings with your straight people or your religious people or whatever, your anti-gay people. You can have that. And I don't have to be a part of it. I can do my own thing. But would you please stop killing me? Would you please stop killing us? You know? That's the weird thing to true outcasts, true social freaks like me, is that I never wanted to be a part of that. I had no interest in, you know, growing up. We had the birthday parties, and they invited all the kids, and all the kids would be in their own little clique, and I'd try to get into it, and they didn't like me, so I left the clique, and I was on my own, and I did my own thing, and that was okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, that's what freaks do, is, okay, this is not the community that I'm welcome in. I'll go build my own community. You don't like my show on your station? I'll go make my own station, or I'll find another station. I just don't understand what's wrong with that, or why, when, especially like the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is a club, it's a boys' club of people who believe what they believe, they do what they do, they have their thing. Why are you busting down their door saying you must participate, especially with that model? And this was part of the article, was it's not government you're trying to bust into. The government is starting to accept you. You've fought the right fight when it comes to the government. You want to be part of Congress. You want to be part of the laws. You want to be accepted, and you want to be safe. Those are the fights that you fight. You don't fight for gay marriage, as in, let me in your church in front of your priest and have him marry me, because your God should be all loving and accepting and accept me too. No. Go elsewhere. And you can even go elsewhere and say that those people's God, they love you too. And you're starting a church with the same religion. The only difference is the asterisk at the bottom of the page is, unfortunately, these other people don't believe that this God loves us. But we know better, and this is our church based on that. That's all you need. But when I wrote that article, I got a bunch of comments pretty much saying, where the hell have you been? Where is your head stuck in? That they feel that they are fighting only for government rights, and that they are not fighting for church. However, that's not what I've seen. That's not what I've witnessed. And it's not just chalking it up to mainstream media, but look at the articles. Man and man, woman and woman, standing in front of a priest in a church. The articles also are filled with interviews of people who say they want to be married in their church. And that their church won't let them because that's not their church's thing. I'm not getting it from my ass, that's for sure. There are gay people out there who want to be part of a club that doesn't accept them. And when I was reading all these essays and quotes from back in the day of, you know, we're just, that's pretty much what these people were saying, was we are gay. We just want to live a gay life. We will happily make our own clubs, our own lifestyle, do our own thing. But if you just, you know, try to stop killing us, try to stop kicking us out of every store, you know, could we buy our food and we have our own bars, we have our own clubs. We have our own churches. We don't at all. So this pushing yourself into the culture, infusing, and that's kind of what's happening here, is it's infusing, and you're getting your way. You, those who are fighting for gay rights and, you know, the gays need to be accepted in churches, you're actually winning. You're winning that battle. I have absolutely no idea why you're fighting it. Fight for your rights. Fight for your happiness. But not to get into the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the whatever church. The church that doesn't accept you. Not to get into that. There's no reason to get into that. You have your own, don't you? And they want rights. We all want rights. And that's worth fighting for. That's worth standing on the steps of Congress, government, and saying, and calling, and saying, I deserve the rights of. And that's what I'm saying, is that I've been in a few states now and been married to a few men, married, partnered, whatever the legal concept was called. I was wed in the law to the partner, to the person that I loved. And we did that because we wanted the rights of the people, the rights of couples, the benefits of couples. We didn't do it because we We wanted to be acknowledged by invisible forces. We did that on our own. We went, especially the last time, we had our ceremony. We did our mystical, universal chanting and ceremony under the stars, and we were married. Our souls, our entities, our bodies were married under the stars. And when it was all said and done at the end of the day, we had rings on our fingers. We were bonded. We loved each other. We were out in public. People asked, who is this? Who is that? This is my husband. And this is my husband. It was no big deal. No one ever stopped and said, well, husband, you mean partner? No. No one ever did that. And if they did, then you just say, no, I mean husband, and you walk away, or agree to disagree, or, you know, one party shuts up eventually and walks away, because it's not important, because you are what you are, and you know what you are. Maybe that's my problem. I've been taught that extensively. No one needs to accept me. No one needs to approve of what I do. And the disapproval has no bearing on my freedom, unless my freedoms are restricted. And then I fight for the freedoms that I deserve. My generation, very lucky to be starting to grow up in a world, in a country, under a government that is accepting them and has already set up ways for filing for government services based on being a couple, a partnership. That's how it should be. The separation of church and state. As long as your state is accepting you, find your own church, not someone else's. And I want to remain a freak. I've always wanted to remain a freak. I do not wish to be anything but a unique freak. Freak, unique. That is what I want. And to become more and more involved in that, I mean, please, I will seclude myself to the mountaintop, to the limited amount of what I need. As long as I've got this here to talk to you, and my food, and my books, and the shelter, I do not want to be involved. I mean, the crowds, the crowd mentality, I know it well, and I know to stay away from it very well. And maybe that's why I'm so against certain things, because wherever the crowd goes, they're usually wrong, and I know that. So if I see a crowd-made decision, I instantly have to question it. You know, is this just sheep with guns, or have these people actually thought out and banged out a true law based on, you know, many voices and not just hysteria? Crowds are based on hysteria. And unless you're in some sort of voting process with, you know, people with calm heads making calm decisions, you've got to wonder. So I want marriage even less now. Maybe even less now because I've had it already. I've been married. The first one, we put rings on our fingers and said we're married. The second one, we put rings on our fingers and there was blood and we were married. I got to go to my place of community and say I'm married. Some people rolled their eyes, some people hugged and congratulated. But been there, done there. And that. And bought the t-shirt. But knowing that everyone has the right to, it's just too much. It's too... Everyone wearing the same thing. Everybody's gay. Everybody's straight. Everybody looks the same now. Everybody is doing what everybody else is doing. It's sickening. then I wouldn't want to walk down an aisle. Well, I never would have anyway. But I don't now, if everybody can do it. It's the internet all over again. We were here because nobody else could do it. And nobody, not everyone, was invited. That's the thing. Where is the sacredness of a club anymore? It's a unique family that you have. And unfortunately, a lot of those clubs were forged under the burden of society's hatred. You know, the underground cultures and clubs that formed for anybody, for the nightlife, for the daylife, for the blacks, Latinos, gays, straights, homosexuals, transgendered, queers, fags, punks, goths. It's all because these were special clubs formed. All because all the people up top said, no, you can't. You can't dress like that. You can't think like that, do that, act like that. So we said, screw you. We're going to go over here, underground, downstairs, and we're going to dress like we want to dress. And we're going to have the fun that we like to have because we know that other people like it as well. Just so happens, not you people up top. Which is a fascinating state of affairs that, you know, we're forged in indifference. We are forged being on the underground and fight to be like everybody else. I don't really understand that. And I don't know if I'll ever understand that. That right there is the show. Is I'm different, so I'm going to fight so that I can be just like you. Who does that? All these people do that. That's ridiculous. Or even worse, I'm different, so I'm going to fight until you start acting just like me. When in the first place, that was why it's unique. Why doesn't everyone just want to stay unique and be who they want to be? I mean, if you're just born and go with it, you're just born and you go with it. It's all you need to do. You don't have to, I don't know. Somewhere in the translation between fighting for your rights to fighting to be like everyone else, there's some miscommunication there. It's like we fought so hard to come above ground, and then when we got there, it was still such a hard fight that both sides were like, okay, well, we'll be a little bit more like you, and okay, well, you can be a little bit more like us. And, you know, at the end of the day, then we're just this big melting pot of goo. We're goo. Instead of the flamboyant and the non-flamboyant, they mushed together to make this odd, normal flamboyance and ruined it for both parties. Ruined it. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing of why we never want to go on mainstream radio. We don't want to be like them. I didn't want to have a website like everybody else. I wanted to be the only one who had a website. That's why. Out we went with MySpace. Everybody had a website. 85% of us said, nope, we're out of here. Because those people got here. And they came and they're doing just what I've been doing. And now everybody's doing it. I want out. And then I came back. Because I'm still doing something different than what they're doing. And if I went on Leno or CNBC, why would I be on CNBC? I don't know. Or VH1. It would eventually end in, what did we say in one of the shows this season already? It's the format. You get stuck to a format. You get sucked in. And you got to do it. You got to do it just like everybody else. Because there's a format. Because there's a thing that everybody has to go with. And the love factor. I just... there's something about gay love versus straight love that I was reading about a lot as well. And it was like, these people, gay saying about straight, these straight people would not understand the love that we have. And that is, for a large part, very true. Because, well, look at straight. You have two different genders melding together in that same mush pot. But two different mindsets, two different creatures. But when you have gay, you have you get a step closer to familiarity. And there's some very scandalous ideas that lay there, that lay between what makes straight couples straight and gay couples gay, and why, you know, the stereotypes. Why can't gay guys stay monogamous? Well, because they're gay guys. Because they're guys. Should be the word. Should be the phrase. Why do lesbians move into each together on the second date? Because they're lesbians. Because they're women living together, combining forces and sources. And there's just something to be said there. And it is something that no one will discuss or go into. Because much like my discussions of the transgender world, when you get into it, you start to unearth things, and you start to unearth perceptions and ideas, and you start to see that there's no format. There's no format for life. Just like there's no format for a show or an endeavor. You don't have to stick to one thing just because you're a straight man or a straight woman, gay man, gay woman, transgender person, queer. That's why last season we talked about queer a lot and the new phraseology of queer. And it fits so well because it doesn't have definition yet. Queer is just kind of funny. And that's kind of unique. And don't you feel kind of unique? Yeah, I do. I'm kind of queer. I'm kind of like the queer of the old days. That word. Not when it stood for fag. Gay. It was queer. That's a bit bizarre. And that's how I take the queer sexuality to feel, to be, is a little bizarre. I'm a little strange. I'm not like the rest. Because I'm undefined. And that's where queer stays. And that's why I like it, because it has been defined, but it has a broad definition. And the way I feel queer can be completely different from the way that you feel queer. Yet, the way I feel gay should not differ from the way you feel gay or the way you feel straight compared to the other person who feels straight. You have a format to stick to there. There is an A, B, and C. And while there may be small offshoots of that, it's not millions of offshoots. It's not allowed. You cannot get that. And that's why breaking the mold of transgender is very difficult for them, because they're just defining themselves of a person born one way and wanting to be completely 100% the other way. And they're just getting a foothold for that. And here we come. Here we come with our ideas and our non-anti-formats and the thoughts that you don't have to be one way or the other, no matter what way you are. And that scares them, because how will regular society buy it if it isn't as prescribed? Follow the directions. Follow the recipe. God, I hate recipes. I have always hated recipes. And I never follow recipes. A pinch of that, a handful of this, that's all you need. But life and the boxes of humanity, the people up top, will only accept it if you can hand them the formula. A gay person is made up of this, this, and this. And a transgender person is a person who feels like this, but looks like this. Period. end. Back away, set it down, set the definition down, and back away, and let the up-top society accept it as it is, you know? It's kind of like when they started mixing races. Started. When they started to realize that people mixed races. It's like, well, are you black or are you white? That's what they used to say. Because they couldn't get it. They couldn't handle that a person could be both. And they can't handle that what a person is could be unhandleable. It doesn't fit in the box. I'm just a big... Ugh. I picture an octopus falling into a shoebox. It's just, you know, splat. And there's legs hanging out and there's goo everywhere. And that's me. I'm the freaking octopus, a freak unique octopus, trying to fit into a shoebox. And actually, knowing the whole time, I'm not interested in fitting that shoebox, because I'm big and slimy, and I've got a lot of legs, and I am who I am, and octopuses are gorgeous just the way they are. So fuck you. And I'm going to go wash off the refugee now, because I am the Artist D, and I've got to get back to the upper ground. Hear this and our many episodes at thefabulousdshow.com. I thank you for tuning in, and a many big thanks to Derek Bishop, someone else who is boxless, for our new theme song. Visit him at derekbishop.net. He's working on the new record. Thanks to all of our simulcasters, broadcasters, and affiliates, those who are left, and For Culture Radio at forculture.com. Until next time, please remain fabulous and don't remain seated. I am the Artist D. Good night.